Right, we're on page 109, talking about individuality and uniqueness and independence. So he says, "Lachem, if Shershi Adam Shalem LaAtzmo, Shalem Im Atzmo Ne'aman LaAtzmo, Ne'aman LaTiv Yuto, Normali B'Chutz La'aretz Kmo Be'Eretz Yisrael." The person can't be whole with himself, complete with himself, relied on himself. Like normal in Chutz La'aretz, like he can be in Eretz Yisrael. My wife was telling me there's a certain school that shall may not be named, where a rabbi from Israel was telling the girls that, well, if you're in Chutz La'aretz, a Jewish chick. I said, yeah, well, I said, Rav Kook does say that. He said, well, you can't tell teenage girls that. They can't handle that. They don't even know what it means.
Oh, he said that.
Yeah, he was telling all the girls, when you go back, you're going to be sick, you know. So that's what Cook's saying, that all these aspects of these four aspects, he won't be as true to himself as he will be in the area and the aspect of this ne'emanut in Eretz Yisrael. So it's just not it's a qualitative thing. That whatever you say, however you qualitatively you are in Chutz La'aretz, you're qualitatively better than yourself. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The low pirud, truth to oneself without pirud means separation. And I think that kind of refers to the idea that all of us, to some degree, we do things that are not true to ourselves. You know, we have to sort of compromise on who we are in order to do the things that we need to do.
Right.
So he says, and that's just, oh, you have less of that. Be below pirud. No distinction, no separation. Ba'adam yesh kama markivim. Person has a number of components. Machshavot, hagyonot, rayonot. Be'eretz Yisrael him amitiyim v'tiviyim v'munan haruchani of psychologi v'anafshi. In Israel, this person's thoughts and ideas and hopes and yearnings are natural and true in a spiritual, psychological, and nafshi, solely way. Okay, so these are just ideas that he's repeated already. That's the first sentence. But the rest goes even higher. You have to get the idea that there are certain people that have hofaot, what a hofaot, revelations we'll call them.
Right.
They have sort of a cognition of God. Right? Meaning on whatever level you are, you can have a certain revelation, and you know what I'm saying? There's opaqueness and there's clarity. Yeah, but everything is like that. Right? Some people see it more, some people see it less, and it depends who you are. So whatever value you had, whatever revelation level you had, right here, the level is going to be that much greater in Eretz Yisrael. Even in Israel, it depends on the person and the circumstances. But in general, the revelation is clean. Avira zach, avir nishamot. There's a few anashim ha-mitzanim she-be'eretz Yisrael ha-kochavim nirim barur yoter ve'avir behir yoter. There are some people like that the sky and the stars are brighter and the air is cleaner. It's not, you know, physically cleaner.
Is it the way that they looked at it, like everything is starry-eyed?
No, I don't think so.
They say, like, my brother-in-law...
Honestly, I have no idea.
Yes. When he went north of Bangor to check the lattice, you know?
Yeah, he would go out at night and look at the stars.
It was amazing. There were no city lights.
Right.
And you really can see the stars. Like
right.
Like here, you can't see anything.
It's like lying in the mountains of upstate New York and on the field and watching.
Yeah.
Right. Sure.
Okay.
That just means it hasn't been built up.
They're clean. Chutz La'aretz ain't no Eretz Yisrael. Ela Eretz Amim. V'yesh bat tumat Eretz Amim. Avirah de Eretz Amim. That's what a Rav Kook means. Ubechutz La'aretz mu'aravot hen b'sigin v'klipot merubim. It's messed up. It's mixed in with impurities, chaff. Right. In ze'ayesh ma'amar chazal. Achad ha'nolad ba. So what did Rav Kook do with this idea that whether you were born there or you desire to see it? Kamuvan, ha-mitzapeh be'emet, lo stam milim. Right, you know, somebody really wants. Elagagui, kishur nafshi, dvekut nafshi, a connection, a yearning. Hagashav, hakara, shi'adut chutzaretz, shayechav aretz. There's a recognition that chutzaretz belongs, that yeah, the Judaism of chutzaretz belongs in Israel. So I was talking to somebody today, and he said, well, you know, I'm not going to say who, but he said, I know it's where we all belong. Like, he was commending me for making Aliyah, and he said, well, I know it's where we all belong, but... So I said, no, if you know, then, you know, you direct your career in a certain direction. Like, and I really try not to hack people, I don't, but he kind of brought it up. He said, I just don't think I could be comfortable in Eretz Yisrael. And so I said, one second. You already acknowledge where you belong. Is that level of, you know, discomfort that you feel, does that outweigh what you think is the ideal of where you're supposed to be? Our economy, maybe you won't be comfortable. We're Americans, we're not Israelis. You know, there's always going to be a part of it it's going to be off, you don't belong. But at the same time, so what? You know, like, you know, Shemir Shabbos is uncomfortable, and Kassus is pretty uncomfortable. Right. You know, there are a lot of things that we do that are uncomfortable. So you know, obviously for this person, the desire is not there. You know, because if it's uncomfortable for me, okay, it's not kind of how I'm going to express myself. That's not what Rav Kook is talking about. You know, it'd be better, and we should do it, and whatever. I don't know if anybody nowadays can be included in this idea of a mitzvah de rosa. You know, you're talking about people that had no opportunity. So how can you say now, unless you are so entrenched that it's really impossible for you to go, literally impossible, so then it's hard to say that these gaguim would connect you in the same way. Amma, if you go to hachshuka, v'kishur l'hasoladam, Eretz Yisrael, the greater your desire and yearning, your ideas are purified. Zichuch is purification, kishur is connection. True expectation. You know, it's interesting. I have often wondered when reading Rav Kook, to what degree did he feel that I get a sense that he felt that Kabbalah was the study of Klal Yisrael, and inherent in that was Eretz Yisrael. You know what I'm saying? And that a person who had that sort of enlightenment to find God in the Kabbalistic sense, so where did that come from? You know, you don't find Kabbalah in, you know, Ludge. So how do these people have this inspiration? So I'm speculating without any knowledge whatsoever. It'd probably take a real cookie and scholar to say this. But I sort of imagine that he would say that it emanates from this yearning for Eretz Yisrael, this yearning for the desire. The greater the yearning is, the more connection you have, this inherent spiritual connection to Eretz Yisrael, even if it's not a physical connection. Just like you can connect to another person, you can connect to Klal Yisrael, you
which
can connect...
Which opens up then Kabbalah.
Which opens up deeper understanding of the Rosh Hashanah, which manifests itself in sort of being able to see the spiritual side of things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, the Beit Yosef was having his Magid come visit him. Was it only in Eretz Yisrael when the Magid showed up? Was it only in Eretz Yisrael when the Magid showed up?
In Tzfas, right?
But only in Tzfas?
I think.
I don't know. Yes, now my Marchazam for some Yadu. There's a very well-known
Magid. The Gra had something, but never went to Eretz Yisrael.
Did they say the name of the Gra?
But he believed.
So he was a T.O.D., right? He was like a big time. Right. You know what I'm saying? Didn't they say that the Gra instructed one of his Talmidim not to speak to his Magid, like not to learn with his Magid or something, so he should learn on his own?
I don't know.
Never heard that? Yes, no, Ma'amar Chazam for some Yadua, there's a Ma'amar Sha'a. Sho'alim Adam Yehudi V'yom Adin, Tipita L'Yeshua. The Tapot, what is the Tapot?
Pining, yearning.
Oh. Meaning at the end, right, this is like the very famous funeral vart. You know, it's the Gemara in Shabbos. The whole syndic. So one of the last ones is Tipita l'Yeshua. Ha'im atam amin emunah shleima amukav amitit v'Yeshua amelet lavo. You believe in the redemption. Rashi refers to Tipita l'Yeshua l'divrei hanaviyim. Haran b'chidusha v'ashabat masif od mila b'kiyum divrei hanaviyim b'yamecha. That's a hard one. Can I honestly say that I think Mashiach is going to come, I won't say tomorrow, but in my days? Can you say that in Auburn?
Yeah, he is.
You think so?
Yeah. That's not how crazy the world's getting.
I'm just nervous. I believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam. Remember, I think Rav Teichel talked about this. It's easier to believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam than, what am I going to say?
Than Mashiach.
Well, I thought so. I believe the Ribbono Shel Olam can bring Mashiach, but I don't know if the time is on my schedule. So if, in order for Mashiach to come,
it has to be...
Christ has to deserve it. And that's hard to see in today's day and age.
Or, like they say, that it's I might have another tab that I got to pay up, but this tab is getting paid.
What do you mean?
The idea of we're indulged for a certain period of time.
And how many?
If I wasn't done,
so when
it's doing worse than others.
So you're saying if the time is up, okay, but when
does
the time up?
No, not just time is up. Klaiso, let's say, you can say they're doing X, Y, Z, but of the original decree of why Klaiso went into Golas, through the years, that's expunged.
Of the
original reason why they went to Golas. Have they done other things that are wrong? Maybe, but not necessarily.
But I'm saying, you mean the time will be up for the original reason?
Right.
And then we'll get Moshiach
then, yes. And then, all right, now that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's problem to figure out the rest. That's why
I don't know.
And that's why they say, they compare it to like this. If the first dinosaurs couldn't have brought Moshiach, how do you think I can? That's a famous question.
Yeah.
So they use Maznaim scales. And they say like this. All those, it was like this. The first dinosaurs, each a Rashi, a Rabbeinu Tam, and the Goyim, and all of them brought it down, and the Tanoim, and Amoraim brought it down to here.
Yeah.
The bottom line is all you need is one little garnish of a person who does the rest. You follow? It's not that it's on his laurel.
If you look at it that way. If that's how you want to look at it. I'm not entirely sure. I mean, the generation that we have is an incredible generation.
Yeah.
But the same, we were talking today in the Mishnah Shiva. There's a great guy there, but like, we're doing Elohim and Nechnokim in the Mishnah. Chenek, Zakein Mamri, Ebol Es Yesish, you know. This guy looks and he goes, this. You know, like, he really puts a person to death for these things. They were very serious.
Mm-hmm.
And so it ended up, and said, she's like, where does this come from? I said, to be honest with you, this is black and white in the Torah.
Right.
You know, Chenek for all these things is, you know.
Yeah.
You know, Bakalos, Abivimo, Mosimas,
right?
All these things are in the Torah. So he's like, well, I think that we've
come a long way.
Right. He said, I think that's all subject to interpretation. I said, well, actually, no, that's not an interpretation. That's in the Torah. He said, well, we've enhanced the Torah from then. I said, well, you're not talking about enhanced. We've contracted the Torah from then. Is that what you believe? And they said, all comes down to, do you believe that Torah is Misinai and or not? And the vast, vast majority of Jews,
unfortunately,
do not. Simply do not.
Or that they don't want to. Because it gives them the ability to be, quote, free of responsibility.
What's the difference whether they do because they want to or they don't want to?
Well.
And so I say to myself, is this going to bring Mashiach? That's going to bring Mashiach? And the I don't know. You know, it's hard to expect. Okay. So I'm gonna say, "Look, I killed the Russians. Shai Tzitzol b'chol dor."
Found a missile, 150 some miles up, with a little thing.
Mashiach can come. Any time, 100% Mashiach could come. Are we giving the Ribbono Shel Olam reason for him to come? Are we giving the Ribbono Shel Olam a reason to say, "You know what? I want to redeem them today." And they're good people. They're wonderful people.
Ribbono Shel Olam. We don't have this question. The Klai Yisrael and cried out in Mitzrayim. We're crying out today.
Are we?
Not everybody.
You know? Can we honestly say that there are American Jews that are saying, oh, when is Mashiach going to... Other than Mashiach, the Lubavitchers.
Who, they don't...
They're not even talking about that.
They don't understand what they're asking for anyway.
Right. One doesn't get the same... I mean...
No. It's just like another thing to ask for. Can I have an ice cream? Can I have Mashiach?
Right. Now, things are, in a way, to be honest with you, too good to want Mashiach.
That's a famous shot, and they said, what is the Golus today? Till now, whenever we got out of hand, the Goyim reminded us we were Jews.
Yeah.
Today, the Goyim are allowing us to forget. And they're making everything...
It's insane, but who wants Mashiach? Who needs Mashiach?
Right. So that's
we're living in a time
the
when...
Golus, that is the Golus.
You know, it used to be Shabbos HaGadol, and the Rav would do the Haftarah. And people would be, oh, come on! Nowadays, you know, it doesn't mean anything. You know, I'm going to Cancun for flour for Pesach. Oh, come on, like, you know. I mean, I can't go to Cancun, I have to stay in Israel. A couple of hotels in Tiberias aren't as nice.
Wait, why should I stay in Israel? I can go to Uman.
Yeah, that's a really terrible one. Okay. Yeah. How much more so in our days? Okay. That's the meaning of the word. The more, the greater your yearning and your expectation of Yeshua, the connection to Eretz Yisrael. Person's thoughts or yearnings of this person. So he says, in theory, it's possible that if a person can't get to Eretz Yisrael, but his yearnings are so great, so that purifies his. You know, but all, it's interesting. He sort of set it up though that the only holy people, in a sense, the only people in Ruach HaKodesh are the people that
are focused on one thing.
Well, not only, I wouldn't say only one thing, but have that focus on Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, so it's almost like I claim.
So that's how you.
All Gedolim, basically, must have been Zionists. Why?
Because they rose to the greatest levels of Torah.
Right. The only way for them to get the Ruach HaKodesh that they needed in order to become the great people that they were, right, was through the connection to Eretz Yisrael. Now, it might be true, by the way. You could say even the rabid anti-Zionists, it is in between that and Eretz Yisrael.
Right.
You know, the concept of Eretz Yisrael. By Yonatan, exactly what he said about Eretz Yisrael. Yesh hagashar hakashal kesher. Contact. Contact. Shaychut psychologit telepathit.
Telepathic.
Yeah, telepathic. Ambitit ni ma'amakein afshar shal adam. That you feel inherently tied, telepathically connected to Eretz Yisrael. Remember, Rabbi Cook really looks at Eretz Yisrael as a living entity, as a breathing entity, like Klal Yisrael. So just like you, we are connected to Klal Yisrael, not just because we're in Klal Yisrael, or inherently connected to it, so you're connected to Eretz Yisrael too, if you want to be, you know, in some sense. Yesh min yon zeh bitush Rav Yaakov Moshe Rav Chalap. Rav Yaakov Moshe Chalap. That's Rav Chalap's grandfather. Abba Zechon Lebrach of Yotoba, London. So they were in London. Chutz La'aretz, right? Remember, Rav Cook went into London. He was stuck.
Rabbi Chalap from the Drasha.
Yeah.
His grandfather.
Al Hamshech Rabbi Yotoba, Yisrael. Lo nuchal limor acheret. Lahabin acheret. There's no other way to explain it. Yotzi asher mi marom ha-migdash. Unless you say that from the place of the Midrash, Beis Kachi Akachim Ad Makom Megurav Shal Arab B'London, right? Nimshach Eze Shriel Kaze, Sinor Kaze, Shemugan Miatuma Misaviv Tuma Shal Eretz Chutzlar. She says, I'll guarantee you, Rav Chalap accompanied Rav Cook.
Yeah.
She says, I'll guarantee you that there's a fiber optic spiritual line direct from the Makom HaMikdash to Rav Cook in London. That's what he said. Right, exactly. It's like, you know, it's like this pipeline of purity. It's reality. That's how he said. It's like, it's almost like that. You can't survive without like an oxygen tank, like your oxygen line. So when Cook, you just had an oxygen line, you just pulled it, you couldn't see it. But if you knew what it was, you needed to be there.
You don't understand it.
Yeah. Right, of course, they're very, like, you know, the students are very, spiritual, soul connection. His answer is very interesting to Yehuda. Stop thinking about it in terms of, like, you know, I sometimes get a sense that Israelis are, like, militaristic about it. No, when you make an aliyah, no! You know what I'm saying? Like, and if you don't, you fulfill that ideal, then you're, like, you know, not really a Jew, in a sense. You know? So he says it's a question of your spiritual connection. Right. You know, like, stop hacking people, but at the same time, if it's so important to you, if you really want the geula, you'll find a way. You know, that's up to you. Okay, Parakei. Okay, next. These, remember, Dalet Hay and Vav are connected, all three.
Yeah.
Don't be there. Okay. I took a bunch to the basketball game. I ate way too many this week. Can't look at those things. Hadimyon shel Eretz Yisrael hitzalul ubarur. So now he's talking about dimyon. What is dimyon? No.
Oh, I'm on the imagination.
Correct. I mean, what I find so personally appealing about Rav Kook is, when is the last time a rav of yours talked about your imagination?
When he said, "Stop playing Rami."
Right. In the Yeshiva Welt, imagination is something to be suppressed.
You can use your intellect, not your imagination, as much. You figure things out, that's fine.
Right. But Rav Kook is correct. These are aspects of human condition. So why should your imagination only be a negative? And it's not, by the way. We often use our imagination for great things. If you couldn't envision, you know, like the ability, like if you can't imagine, right, the end product, like you know, I envision we're going to build a powerful shul of Lumen HaTorah. If you can't imagine it,
you can't do
it's never going to happen. Right. But it's even more than that. Chidushim, what are chidushim? Chidushim are the ability for a person to be creative in his mind. To see it differently than it's been presented to him.
Think outside the box.
What does that mean, to think outside the box?
Not within the regular parameters.
What is the imagination? Okay, Gabe, you're the psychologist here. You did a round of psychology, right? What is the imagination?
Abstract thinking?
No.
Probably,
no.
The ability?
Probably desires, right? I mean...
Could be your desires.
Could be, you know. Channeling your desires towards things that you like to focus on.
All right, look up the word imagination. Be my guest. You can also look up my email on there. I'm sure Gabe didn't get it either.
I am him.
I didn't get an email.
No, it wasn't today. I talked about that email, but I wrote the response to the email.
I didn't get it.
Okay, good.
From the firewall, probably?
No. Oh, but did you get the show email? You haven't gotten in a while, right? Yeah, I think your firewall is blocking it.
Imagination.
Yeah.
The formation of a mental image of mm-hmm. something that is neither perceived as real nor present to the senses.
Mm-hmm.
Or B, the mental image so formed, C, the ability or tendency to form such images. The ability to confront and deal with reality by using the creative... I like that. The ability to confront and deal with reality by using the creative power of the mind.
Good. Creative power of the mind. That's excellent.
It's resourcefulness.
Okay. The creative power of the mind. The creative power of the mind can be... I mean, we've all used our imaginations for creative power of the mind for personal benefit or pleasure. But the creative power of the mind comes... Where does that come from? You know what I'm saying? You're talking about things that are on the edge of, like, that are unexplainable in a sense.
Right. It's not tangible in the sense that we can...
Probably the amygdala. Yeah.
What?
Part of the brain.
No, don't think about it in terms...
You're
by the way,
what, 4 o'clock?
You know, I'm a Wired magazine guy. These people, they have no clue about any of these things. You know, dreams. They could do an MRI on you and tell you what neurons are firing, but they have, you know, their soul, their nephesh, they have no idea. Just no idea. You know, and that's, by the way, more interesting, the more you learn, the more you find out, like as great, amazing things as medicine can do, so much, they have no idea. There's no clue whatsoever. You know, so...
the HMOs aren't willing to pay for you.
So what's imagination? What determines... How do you determine whether your imagination, EA, is useful and powerful or muted?
So we solve the problem.
No, it's not a solution. Imagination is not a solution.
Some people
to the problem.
Can't imagine anything good, probably.
That's terrible.
And other people can't imagine.
Some people have limited imaginative abilities, or it's never been encouraged.
Or they have negative
imagination. That is very true.
You know?
Or they have negative imagination, meaning like...
Yes, what?
I can imagine how something will finish out.
Some people will imagine they can reach this level, and some people never see themselves even getting above here. Would you say that's their innate creation?
Is that ambition or imagination?
That's ambition.
Imagination is able to picture in your mind something that does not exist. Creative mental ability. Okay, where does that creativity come from? What determines...
The artist has a...
What determines what the nature of your creativity is?
Probably your view of reality.
There,
You know what I'm saying? I know guys are businessmen. His mind is always like churning. What else can I do? He's like, you know, he said, build just business. What else can I do? I mean, really, unbelievable successful guy.
Right.
What else can I do? So his creativity is in terms of business.
Right.
Which is fine. You know, but what is the proper natural Jewish creativity?
How to come closer to God.
Okay, in whatever way. His, you know.
How to figure out a better siddish, how to
create a better widget, I started a while ago reading this book about Einstein. Got a little bored, so I got sidetracked. But they said that most of his chidushim, by the way, were very early on in life, mm-hmm. and he did them with what he called thought experiments. Like he imagined in his mind how it would be, you know, like putting the particle next to each other. Who knows? You know, I have no idea what he was talking about.
So not everybody has the ability to imagine.
Is that true?
I think so.
To different, to varying degrees, Gabe.
Just like not everybody can be a big Talmud Chacham to the same extent.
True, mental ability. Correct. Imagining the power. Correct.
It's dependent on Siyata D'Shamaya also.
But part of your imagination is, I would say, a factor of your environment.
Right.
Part of your imagination is a factor of your of your education, your upbringing, the way you've been. Your life experience. But a quick would say, part of your imagination is going to say. Is dependent upon the spiritual environment. It is geographic, but the spiritual environment in which you find yourself.
Right.
You know, that environment affects your ability to be for creativity,
mm-hmm.
and it will
either hamper or it will excel.
Right. It will increase your level of creativity. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that environment is part of it. Is a natural. Essence.
Right.
I was watching. Sometimes when the Sports Center goes on commercial, so there's the view on. The ladies are arguing. There was this book. The book was about these penguins in New York City. A true book about these two male penguins. And the two male penguins, they made a little nest and they hatched a little penguin egg or whatever.
In the middle of New York City.
In the middle of New York City. So right. So there's a whole machlokes about is it. You know, should we read this story to children or not? Because obviously it's trying to promote the gay agenda.
It's not true story.
No, then you're saying it was a true story.
Oh,
it was an absolutely true story. But these two penguins in Central Park, you know what I thought about? I thought about, there's a Rashi at the end of Noah. It says, Kate's called Basar Balafan. I said, Midrash says, I understand what the people did. What do the animals do? Why are they grouping? Why are they killing them? So what did the Rashi say?
Says they were between different species.
Right, they were mizdaveg. Why? Because the atmosphere the human beings create...
Creates the situation.
Affects
right.
the situation.
Right?
Yeah. So that made me think of that book. This children's book that they wrote. You know, and it struck me as such... I should write about that. I should note it. And it struck me as very interesting because... Where does that come from? The animals don't watch people act or behave... Like they don't see the penguin.
But it permeates everything.
Right. The behavior permeates the spiritual atmosphere of the place, mm. and that atmosphere affects people.
Right.
And this is supposed to be the place of where people are learning Kaddishei Torah.
Tzadik Kol Yir, Tzadik Kol.
Probably right. You know, I bet you Rav Cutler knew that.
Yeah.
He knew it. There's no way you're going to build a yeshiva that's going to be successful here. No way. Not going to happen. I mean, you have yeshivas, but I mean,
the biggest is not as big as it used to be. Torah V'das. It went down.
Did it?
Yeah. It barely has a high school.
Really? But I'm to
Lakewood,
all these crazy sub high schools and high schools and high schools.
It's going to be like five
all
these
yeshivas. Tells us Kamat got an empty dead place. Tervadas is just hanging on.
What about Chamberlain?
Chamberlain had a resurgence.
Yeah.
But it's like this. Lakewood's been slowly in one direction the whole time.
Everybody's consolidating there.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the retirees are moving there because their children and grandchildren are there. So they're leaving Borough Park, Flatbush, and moving in mass. It's becoming a full city.
Great. Yeah, so he was right until they dropped Brooklyn. So he's right until they bring Brooklyn to Lakewood.
You have one sister in Lakewood,
yeah.
One brother in
the... Yeah, I'm the white sheep of the family. Look at the picture.
No, that's your wife and her.
No, it's my brother. Yeah, you have to look carefully. All right, look at the picture. Well, me and my brother. But okay, anyway. Hadim, you know, this all goes back to the idea of creativity, imagination.
Oh, you're right. No,
yes. Yeah, I know.
I can get you one if you want.
What? Did you get me the Rabbi Plague sign?
Yes, I did.
People love that sign. Hadimyon shel Eretz Yisrael hutzalul, can I take it with me? Hutzalul ubarur. Right? The imagination of Israel is clear and tzalul. Also clear, but it's like, means, clear means purified.
Yeah.
Right? Crystal clear. Naki v'tahur, clean and pure, umusugal lahofa'at ha'emeta elokit. Again, this your imagination is your divine inspiration, in a sense. And every person has it at some level. Habashat hachifet hamraman v'hanishkav shal hamagamah idealit asher v'elyonut hakodesh. How do you translate these words? Habashat,
the dressing
of this exalted desire of this magamah's goal, of the ideal goal in the elyonut hakodesh, on the highness of holiness, Mukham hasbarat nevuah ve'oroteha, ready for the explanation of prophecy. Lahav hakat ruach hakodesh uzaharav, for the shining of ruach hakodesh and its lights. Okay, meaning all of this. What's the key to all of this? What's the key to all of that? No.
Dimyon.
Imagination.
Now, dimyon of Eretz Yisrael.
All right. It's not just imagination. It has to be imagination in Eretz Yisrael.
Shall Eretz Yisrael? Eretz Yisrael.
Of Eretz Yisrael. Fine. But it's interesting. I find it personally very powerful, very appealing, that there's the notion of, and you're not, I mean, you can't just get it through, like, you know, learning.
It's like the ideal state.
Right. Like, spiritual, and then these are talking about levels of spirituality, of going beyond yourself, of emotional, spiritual creativity, in a sense. You know, using your imagination. Trying to imagine Ribbono Shel Olam. Trying to, you know, envision him. Trying to imagine going beyond yourself. Just crazy, crazy stuff.
You know, it's a funny thing. Because the famous thing, like the art, when Cecil B. DeMille's, you know, the Ten Commandments came out.
Yeah.
People
are against it.
People were arguing, you should see it. You gotta listen. Others saying, no, you're not allowed. And the one that said you shouldn't see it.
Yeah.
Six for a very, very interesting reason. I thought it was, and I liked it. If I asked a kid in grade school of Avraham Avinu, what do you think he looked like? He has a crystal clear vision of a haze. He must look, you can't describe it, and yet you know what it is.
Really?
Yeah. In other words, whether he has, and to one it'll have a long white beard, another one is going to have a Hasidic Shemal, but everybody's going to have their own little take, whatever it'll be, but it's going to be a crystal clear of something
that's
abstract.
They're going to be really disappointed when they meet him, a little short guy.
That's right, yeah, right. But with an abstract.
Mm-hmm.
The moment that they see Charlton Heston's emotion, that destroys the ability to have that abstract.
I don't think so.
Of the godless emotion. What? How are you
going to grow up?
Karen R., it's like...
Then you grow up.
No. It clouds you. It clouds you. Once you have... a image. It's very. Yeah. Once you have an image,
I've been clouded.
You've been clouded.
I saw it.
Yeah, once you have an image, it's very hard. That's why, like, old time radio was much more imaginative because people could imagine what was happening and they on their own.
That's a good comment. Nobody uses their imagination anymore today.
That's right.
That's why they said, you know,
it destroys.
A second. Who is it? The guy who's in charge of Amazon came out with this book reader. It's called the Amazon Kindle. It's an electronic reader. So I think Bill Gates said to him, you know, your product's going to fail. No, it wasn't Bill Gates. It was a guy from Apple. What's his name?
Jobs.
He said, your product's going to fail. He said, why? It's a great product. He said, but nobody reads. Nobody reads anymore. So what's the point? So put a million books on it. Nobody reads them.
Right.
Anyway, so I just want to finish this section. Imagination in Eretz Amim.
Exactly.
Galus is achur, cloudy. Me'urabu mechashakim. It's mixed in with darkness. The tzilalei tuma v'zihum, the shadows of tuma and zihum is impurity. A person cannot rise up to exalted heights. Cannot be a basis for the shefa, for the flow of the divine light that rises from above all this worldly lowness.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, you know, like there's no flow, there's no connection, it's all dark. And since seichel and imagination are connected, they're connected to each other, and they're
they're symbiotic and they're interconnected. So a person, by definition, is he takes it the other way. Since it's clear that your imagination is a function of Eretz Yisrael, the clarity of Eretz Yisrael. And since your seichel and your imagination work hand in hand, therefore it's impossible that your seichel can be as powerful and as useful and as light and as incredible in Eretz Amim as it is in Eretz Yisrael. And that's what it means, Avira to Eretz Yisrael Machim. It's not that the light, the air of Eretz Yisrael makes you smarter, it makes you more creative, more imaginative. You know, I remember when I was in groups, I used to get Parsha Shir, and I gave, like, I wrote up these notes, like, and some of them were better than worse. I look at them now, they're okay. But I'm like, you know, I'd want to have, like, a whole mahalach on the Parsha. And every week, without fail, every week on Thursday night, I'd be, like, learning the Parsha of the Parsha, it would come to me. You know, and a lot of it is a function that I was in, I was in yeshiva, and I was learning, and I was distracted, and whatever. But like, there'd be times it'd be Thursday, and the shiur was at like 10, I remember, 10:15. I gave a shiur to whoever would come, to the BMT guys and whatever. And there'd be times like at 9:00, I'm like freaking out, what's going on? I don't have anything. I would like take a walk. I remember I'd take a walk around the Grist building. Mm-hmm. Oh, got it! You know what I'm saying? And like you feel it. You really feel it. You can, you know, and I don't know. It's not the same thing. Hopefully after I'm there for like a year, maybe it'll come back. I'm not sure. I think when you have responsibilities and issues and stuff, and you can't really sit and think about things, it's a little more difficult. But we'll see. All right, we'll stop here. We'll continue with this next week.